Genesis 28, pick up at verse 10. Genesis 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. We're not going to cover all that, but we know he said that this place was the house of God, the gate of heaven. And this is one incident that scripture covers in Jacob's life. And these things are for a reason. I made a statement a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know if you remember. I said there's roughly about 10 incidents that scripture records about Jacob and Jacob's interactions. One was the birth itself when he grabs a hold of the heel of Esau. One was the birthright when he actually asked for Esau to sell his birthright. Another was this dream that he has here. There's one when he's going on his way to Laban to pick his wives. There's another where he wrestles with the angel. And we'll go through this. I'm just listing these off. We'll just take a quick look at each passage. When he wrestles with the angel, there's another where he confronts Esau after all that time. There's the incident with his daughter. There's the incident with his son, his last son, Benjamin. And then there's his dream that Joseph has. And then there's his trip down into Egypt. I should have been counting those up. Did anybody count those up? No, nobody counted them. I think that's 10. But we'll see. I'll have to go back and double check. But those incidents are recorded, and they're there for a reason. They give us a little more information about what God is doing with Jacob. So we'll pick up here. This is one. I say 10. I'm going to do this real quick here. It won't take long. I'm just going to write them down and try to add these up quickly. The birth, I said the birth, right? The birthright. Dream he has here, that's 3. His wives, that's 4. The wrestling, that's 5. His meeting with Esau, that's 6. The incident with his daughter, Dinah, that's 7. Benjamin's birth, that's 8. Joseph's dream, that's 9. And his trip into Egypt, well, that's 10. Okay, and that number seems to follow Jacob in these incidents. So let's move forward so we can progress to the next character. This is Jacob. He's leaving to go to Laban, his wife's brother, to pick a wife. And let's get to Genesis 29, verse 15. We're just going to skip through here for time. Genesis 29, let's read verse 1 first. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. So this is where he's going to meet Rachel here, his future wife. He comes to this place, and they are waiting for the sheep to come so they can roll back the stone to water the sheep. Verse 4, and Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. Verse 15, we'll drop down to 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And I'm skipping a lot of this account, but Jacob's going to find his wife, and Rachel is going to be one of his wives. And Laban is hiring Jacob for his daughter. He's going to work for his daughter. verse 15, and Laban said unto Jacob, Behold, thou art my brother. Shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? So he goes in to consummate his marriage with Rachel, and he wakes up, and it's the older daughter. It's Leah. And that's quite a switch, isn't it? Now, before you wonder how could that happen, we're talking about way back in a time where, you know, they didn't have LED lights and all these luxuries that we have. And the women in that day, they dressed a little differently. You didn't see everything up front, and you didn't sample the goods back then. That was something that you didn't know what you were getting until you got it. So, and this is why he was deceived. Verse 21. And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said unto Laban, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet other 7 years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife. So Jacob is already put in 14 years with Laban, just for his wife. Verse 31, And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, there's the word again. Well, the way we look at hated, loved and hated, is not the same way the scriptures emphasize loved and hated. The preference, Jacob's preference, was Rachel. He didn't hate his first wife. He just, that's not what he worked for. That's not who he chose. That's not who he wanted initially. Verse 32, And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. This is where you get into the contention between the wives and the handmaids. They begin to multiply Jacob's seed. Verse 32, you have Leah, she begets Reuben. Verse 33, she has Simeon. Verse 34, she has Levi. Verse 35, she has Judah. So that's four sons. And the verse 30, chapter 30, verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, Give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld thee from the fruit of the womb? And she said, Behold, my maid, Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may have children by her. And so that's what happens. In verse 6, Bilhah has Dan for Jacob. That's his fifth son. She has Dan. In verse 8, she has Naphtali. That's his sixth son. And Leah, verse 11, Genesis 30, verse 11, Genesis 30, verse 9, let's start there. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And there's the seventh son. Verse 13, she has Asher. That's the eighth son. And drop down to verse 18. And Leah, well, better go back to 17. 17, pick up at 17. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son, her fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. So that's the ninth son total. Verse 20. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons, and she called his name Zebulun. That's the tenth son total. Verse 21. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. That's the first daughter and the 11th child total. Verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And see, you follow these things, you have this little back and forth, and then towards the end, this is what you really pay attention to. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. So God steps in, and they know this is God. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God had taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph. And said, the Lord shall add to me another son. This is the 12th child total. So naturally, the scripture begins to focus on Joseph, who is our next character. So I began, Jenny, I began to look for this. I said, well, if it's Joseph, I've got to look for this 10. Well, where is the 10 with Joseph? Shouldn't be 12. That's my thought. So I began to look, so I can see the 11th child was a daughter, so I can take her away because it's not a son. So now I'm down to 11. So I've got to find one more son to omit in my thinking, not me just trying to manufacture it. So I began to look at the genealogy there, and here's what I noticed. In Genesis 49, we're just going to jump ahead and read something. Genesis 49, start at verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Number one, that's his firstborn. So the birthright is his. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. You remember Reuben took one of his father's concubines and he slept with her. And for that cause, Jacob writes him off to the right of the firstborn. There's your subtraction right there. So now that number one spot defaults to the number 10 spot, which is Joseph. I see how Joseph comes into the picture. Verse, now we're back to 30, Genesis 30, verse 23 again. she conceived and bare a son and said, God had taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And that's just in passing. So we'll pick up again with the incident with Dinah, the incident with Laban, I'm sorry. So we're back in 30, and Jacob is working for Laban. And Laban is kind of manipulative. He's got Jacob working for him. He's taking advantage of him. He's already deceived him once. We'll look at verse 25. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and now it is increased unto a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming, and now when I shall provide for mine own house also. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. So Jacob, he's ready to go. He's had enough of his uncle. And Laban, he's just getting started. He says, I can see in verse 27. He says, I can see that as long as you hang around, it's good for me. He's getting the benefits from Jacob. And the reason he's getting the benefits from Jacob, Jenny, is because God is taking care of Jacob. That's God's man, and he's going to make sure that Jacob is okay wherever he is. Verse 35. And he removed that day. Well, we don't want to read that. That's with the cattle. It's kind of getting to a little more detail there. But the Lord gives him a dream where he's able to multiply his cattle. Even though Laban has some conniving ways behind him in order to increase his flock, the Lord gives Jacob a dream, basically how to multiply the cattle. And you can read that chapter 30, 31 in your own time. We're going to pick up in 31, verse 1. And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. Even Laban's sons think Jacob is taking advantage of him. But God is the one that's giving him favor. Verse 2. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me, and changed my wages several times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Really? You just going to let me go? You going to let me go on verse 7? And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages how many times?
10.
Y'all still sleep, right? Y'all still sleep, Saturday night sleep?
He changed my
wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. But I was telling you about the number. The number is going to follow them. 1, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000. It's 8, verse 8. If he said thus, well, that has to do with the cattle. But what we want is verse 6 and 7 again. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. I honored him. And your father had deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But he hasn't honored me. But God suffered him not to hurt me. But God honored me. And God would not let Laban cheat me. So that's why God gives him the dream how to multiply the cattle. Verse 31:11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. So God says, go, and Jacob and his wives and his children and all he has, they're getting ready to go. Verse 21:20, and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. Verse 22, and it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled, and he took his brethren with him and pursued him after 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And the Lord came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and saith unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done, that thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives, taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly, and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp? You think he would have done that? Think they would have had a nice going away party? I don't know. I don't know if Laban, he may just be saying that, especially after that dream. Verse 28.
It's also, those are the instruments that Satan or Lucifer had.
Yeah, I got a dinner for you, right? I got a going away party for you, all right. Verse 28, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters, thou hast now done foolishly in doing so. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me last night, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. So Laban is listening to the dream. He's listening to God, which is great. He should. Verse 38. This 20 years, just as Jacob, this 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands, and hath rebuked thee last night. You see, it is repeated again in verse 41. He tells us in the scriptures recorded what Jacob went through with Laban. And he says, you changed my wages 10 times. And if it wasn't for God, he says, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, you would have took me for everything I had. God is looking out for him again. After all Jacob goes through, well, we'll come back to that. I'll save that for later. Chapter 32, verse 1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Mahanaim. He runs into the angels. And verse 6. 32, verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds, and the camels, into two bands. And he said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company, which is left, shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Now, that's the old Jacob. He's making that plea to God. He's really calling God on the carpet, saying, you said you would take care of me. Here's not like he hasn't been. He just got out of a situation, a couple of situations. And now he's meeting Esau after all this time, after he cheated him. So he's scared. He's wondering what's going to happen. And he prays to God. He's looking for yet another deliverance. And he says, Lord, you told me that you were going to take care of me. So he gets this whole presentation together. Verse 14, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams. Now, I just want you to picture this in your mind. The total of all the animals, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their coats, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she asses and 10 foals. That's 550 animals that he's presenting to Esau because he's looking for grace. He's looking for acceptance. Verse 16, and he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space between drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither thou goest, and whose are these before thee, Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant, Jacob's. It is a present he sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us. And so he commanded the second and the third, and all that followed the droves, saying, on this manner ye shall speak unto Esau when ye find him, and say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. So you see, he's putting this in stages. He gives them a gift, and then there's another gift, and then there's another gift. So by the time Jacob meets Esau, maybe Esau will be in a better mood. So he thinks his brother is furious with him. Verse 22. And he arose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh until this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now, this is the wrestling match, and I think Johnny made mention of this a couple of weeks ago. This was after class. I think he made a statement about this. But here's Jacob. He's by himself. And he meets the angel, and he wrestles with the angel. And the angel touches the hollow of his thigh. It really, he knocks his hip out of joint, because Jacob is, this is a symbolic struggle. Keep in mind the scenario. He's afraid to meet his brother. He thinks Esau is going to kill him. That's not going to happen. God has already told him that there's a certain place that you're going to. And you are in my safety. So this is another message to Jacob. He wrestles with the angel and he says, let me go. He says, nope, I won't let you go until you bless me. And verse 28, he asks him what his name is. He says, my name is Jacob. My name is the usurper. That's what it means. And he says, no, he says, you no more a usurper. You actually have the power now. It's yours. It's yours by right. Now you're legitimate. So we're going to change your name from Jacob to Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and has prevailed. And we just saw that last week, didn't we? Do you remember where we talked about the Lord when he was in the tabernacle and in the temple? You don't remember that? In Luke chapter 2. Let's go over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. Verse 39 says, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So the scripture is giving you a heads up about the Lord that he's God's man. And he is going to grow in his knowledge, in his wisdom, and he's going to grow in favor with God and man. Same thing he says about Jacob back in Genesis 32. You have found favor. He didn't say, he says, thou hast power with God and with men. God's going to give him that authority. His name now is Israel. And he changes his name. That's what that wrestling match is for, is for him to finally embrace the fact that he can call the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, he can call him his God now. He should be learning these through these experiences that God is with him. He doesn't have to try to manipulate anything now. Just, I will say it this way, just sit back and enjoy the ride. Chapter 33, verse 1, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids, and he put the handmaids of their children foremost, and he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. Remember we were talking about parents, if they had favorites? Do you think Jacob had a favorite? We see he does, and we're going to find out a little more about him in a minute here. Verse 3, and he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, whose are those with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God. And thou was pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. Verse 17. Well, you'll have to pick up that in your studies to read it out. Verse 17. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and built him a house, and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of that place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. And he came from Paddan Aram and pitched his tent before the city. And he brought a parcel, verse 19, and he brought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent, and the hand of the children of Hamor, at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar, and he called it El Elohe Israel. So all this incident, when he meets Esau, and he's accepted of Esau, and he begins to journey on, and he came to Shalem, which is Salem. Peace means peace. And he comes and he builds, he called the place Succoth. which is to say it's a booth. Well, that's a booth is where in verse 17, he built a house and made booths for his cattle and named that place Succoth. That's a resting place. I can see him having a big sigh of relief. Like, oh, now I can relax. The pressure of that meeting is off. The pressure of being with Laban is off. And he finally begins to rest in what the Lord has done. And he erects, this is where you get in 19. He buys a piece of land. And the scripture tells you how significant it is. He buys a piece of land for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. God, the God of Israel. He's, if you ever seen The Matrix, Morpheus is, he says to one of the ladies there, Trinity, he says about Neo, he says, do you believe now? They didn't believe he was the one. Now, I'm saying that because here, Jacob, now he's beginning to believe. His belief is stronger and stronger. You notice the places that he's going when he gets out of trouble. He does what his father did. He does what his grandfather did. He builds an altar. He erects an altar. He names the place after God, honoring what God has done. Everywhere he goes, he builds an altar and calls the name of this place this. He builds an altar and names this place this. In verse 20, he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. He's beginning to believe. His belief is strengthening. 34, chapter 34, verse, let's see here. This is after Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, they kill a man for defiling their sister, Dinah. And Jacob finds out about it in 34, verse 27. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that which was in the house. And Jacob said unto Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and shall slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as a harlot? Now, we just talked about how Jacob was becoming, he was strengthening in his belief. And now he takes a step backwards. He says in verse 30, you've made me look bad in the land of the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, and my house. Do you think that would happen? Do you think God would let that happen? He's just multiplied his seed, just beginning to multiply his seed to a great multitude. So you see, there's still a little more left, or I say a lot more left, for Jacob to experience that he might be a believer, a stronger believer.
Well, it's like Abraham. He believed God that he was going to make him a multitude of nations, the father of many nations. And the first thing he did was say, well, lie to the king that you're my sister because he'll kill me.
That's right. I'll bring out a verse that makes me think of all this in before we close here. 35:1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is, Bethel, he and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. That's God of the house of God. The God of Bethel. He erects the altar again. Here's another incident where he's being delivered. Verse 16, 35:8. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Allon Bachuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is in Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave until this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. Verse 22, we'll finish this out. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. You know, remember that Rachel was his preferred. She had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin, and the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Paddan Aram. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is in Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 84 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So Jacob gets back in time to bury his father with his brother, and he comes back with his multiplied seed, just as God had promised. And we're going to read one more passage, and we'll be done, in Genesis 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, The scripture starts off with the generations of Jacob. You think he would have started off. How would you expect the generations of Jacob to start off? Who would he list first? Who would you think he would list first?
Reuben,
because that's his firstborn son, right?
According to the flesh.
Okay. But he starts off with Joseph.
According to the spirit.
Joseph was Jacob and Rachel's firstborn son. Remember, Rachel's womb was opened by God. Rachel was Jacob's favorite, his preferred wife, the wife he loved. And the firstborn is Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Excuse me. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And we will hear about that dream next week. So we want to stop there. And we'll pick up next week with Joseph and continue. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the understanding that we've gained so far. And we pray, as always, for more insight and enlightenment as we continue to read and study your word. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Mm-hmm.